Blog Talk Radio.
Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your co-host, Missionary Terry Rogers, who is filling in for your regular host, Dr. Maria Carey, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc. Announcements. Look for Amazing Grace School of Ministry. Classes will start back in the fall, but you can still listen to previous lessons by contacting Dr. Maria Carey by email at drcareyphd@yahoo.com. For more information regarding the lesson or classes, please contact Dr. Maria Carey at 309-750-7584. Tune in for an exciting lesson in the Vacation Bible Series, Truth, Justice, and Power. The third lesson is titled God's Justice for and the Burning Bush. The second lesson was Intercessory Prayer, Hezekiah's Prayer Model. The first lesson was Depend on God, and that was Joseph's Blessings. Let's read the topic scriptures. Exodus 3, 1 through 10, and this is the King James Version. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egypt and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, Moses was God's chosen person to deliver the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt. He was raised as an Egyptian prince, but was born a Hebrew, Jethro. Jethro was Moses' wife Zipporah's father, who was a priest. He gave wise counsel to Moses that assisted him in leading the people. Mount Horeb, also known as Mount Sinai. It is the mountain where Moses met God through the miraculous burning bush. Later, Moses would return to Mount Sinai and receive the Ten Commandments and other laws from God for the people to live by. Midian. Midian was the land where Moses fled to after killing the Egyptian. Moses became a shepherd in Midian and marries Zipporah. Let's get into the lesson. So God works in unexpected ways. The story of Moses and the burning bush demonstrates the power and the awesome circumstances that God creates to make a difference for his people and this world. So for the Israelite people, God's justice began with the burning bush and a Hebrew who was a former prince of the palace. Moses was born a Hebrew to his mother Jochebed and his father Amram, both from the tribe of Levi. There was injustice all around his parents at this time. They were met with the realities of society where murder, deceit, sadness, and injustice reigned. Pharaoh had ordered the midwives to kill the male infants that were born during that time and throw the male newborns into the Nile. And this is Exodus 1, 15 through 22. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men's children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men's children alive? And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mightily. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. It's just very important to follow the word of God. Now, that's the society we're living in today, which has a different plan, and they don't walk in the truth. There are injustice all around us, but we have to live according to the word of God. Moses was born during this tumultuous time. His mother hid him for 3 months, and when she could no longer hide him, she made a basket and then placed him in the Nile River. Moses' sister, Miriam, her assignment was to follow the basket as it floated on the Nile. How many of us know that God has a plan? God was making a way out for Moses. As his sister was watching him float down the Nile River, there was one of the princesses of Pharaoh's house bathing. So Miriam encouraged the princess to take the baby from the basket, and that princess adopted that baby, and she raised that child as her own. And she named him Moses because she drew him from the water. And that's Exodus 2. Moses grew up as a prince until one day he discovered his real roots. He discovered that he was a Hebrew, and he left the palace. After Moses left the palace, he saw an Egyptian kill a Hebrew, and Moses, in turn, killed the Egyptian. But I want to let you know, people are watching what you do when you think that your deeds are done in the dark. There's always somebody seeing you do what you're doing. Moses thought that no one saw him, but some of the slaves did. And fearing for his life, Moses ran to the desert land of Midian. There he met and married Zipporah, the daughter of a priest, Jethro. Moses became a shepherd and lived among the Midianites with his wife and two sons. Moses was tending his sheep. He saw something strange happening on Mount Horeb. He saw a burning bush that was burning, but the flames did not engulf the bush and burn it up. So with further investigation of this miraculous event, he found himself listening and speaking with God. God got a way to get our attention. He got a way of opening up our eyes to see the plans that he has for us, Jeremiah 29:11. God invites him into a conversation by telling Moses to take off his shoes because he was standing on holy ground. That's verse 6. Moses speaks. Moses listens, and then a brief dialogue between the two begins. Moses receives his assignment, then challenges why he has chosen to talk to Pharaoh about freeing the slaves. Finally, he accepts his mission, and the new journey for the Hebrews and the world began. God knows all about you, and he will provide justice for those that are receiving injustice. It may seem like God is nowhere to be found, or that he's not hearing your cries. But I'm here to let you know today that God hears you, and he knows all about you, and he sees. So just hold on, because God is sending your deliverance. Now, why did God speak to Moses out of the burning bush? The story of God speaking to Moses out of the burning bush is found in Exodus 3, the first chapter through the fourth chapter and the 23rd verse. Through this remarkable event, Moses encounters God on Mount Horeb, and God reveals himself as Deuteronomy 33:16, also Mark 12:26. The burning bush, as described in Exodus 3:2, is a theophany, the appearance of God in a form that is visible to man. The bush itself was most likely some kind of bramble or thorn bush, and the fire burning the bush was in the form of an angel of the Lord who appeared to Moses in a flame of fire, and that's Exodus 3:2. This is the first time in the Bible that he uses the word holy with references to God, and it's the fifth verse. At the burning bush, God revealed his holiness in a way it had never been revealed before. God revealed himself to Moses out of the burning bush. First, God reveals himself as a fire in that it is an image of his holiness. All through the Bible, fire is used as a picture of the purifying and refining quality of God's holiness. This is further evidence when God commands Moses to remove his sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Here, God was emphasizing to Moses the gap between the divine and the human. God is transcending in his holiness, so Moses was not allowed to come close to him. Holiness involves separation. God's holiness means that he is set apart from everything he has made. Holiness is not simple. His righteousness, although that is part of it, but also his otherness. It is a distinction between the creator and the creature. The infinite distance between God's deity and our humanity. God says, I am God and not man, the Holy One among you. Hosea 11:9. His people respond by saying, there is no one holy like the Lord. 1 Samuel 2:2. Second, God revealed himself to Moses. He said, I am God and not man, the Holy One among you. There is no one holy like the Lord. Secondly, when God revealed himself to Moses out of the burning bush as an image of his glory, it will be soon that God will manifest his holiness and glory to the entire nation of Israel. As Moses and the children of Israel soon learned, his glory is like a consuming fire, a pillar of fire that radiates light, a light so brilliant that no man can approach it. Exodus 24:17, 1 Timothy 6:16. Then we see that God was also concerned for the suffering of his people, Israel. Exodus 3:7-8. In fact, this was the first time God had ever called Israel my people. Under the oppressive bondage of Egypt, they had no hope but God, and they could do nothing but cry out to him. God heard them and was now going to meet their need by delivering them from their enslavement and suffering. Psalms 40:17, Isaiah 41:10, Jeremiah 1:8. Though God has revealed himself as one who lives in approachable light, 1 Timothy 6:16, The burning bush symbolizes his intent not to consume or destroy his people, but to be their savior, to lead them out of the bondage in Egypt and into the promised land. Additionally, God gave Moses his own personal name. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." This is what you are to say to the Israelites. "I am has sent me to you." Exodus 3:14. There are several reasons why God did this. The Egyptians had many gods by many different names. Moses wanted to know God's name so the Hebrew people would know exactly who had sent him to them. God called himself I Am, a name which describes his eternal power and unchangeable character. I am that I am. It declares God to be self-existent, without beginning, without end. This is also expressed in the term Yahweh, meaning I am the one who is. It is the most significant name for God in the Old Testament. By identifying himself as I am, God is declaring that he always exists in the immediate now. He isn't bound by time like we are. There was never a time when God wasn't. He has no fixed point when he was born or brought into being. He has no beginning or end. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, Revelation 22 and 13. So Exodus reveals God's promise to deliver Hebrew slaves from bondage in Egypt and their post-slavery journey in the wilderness. God had to instruct them in their constitutional laws and daily practices. He showed them how to worship and how to have national holidays. The book of Exodus reveals a relationship between God and his people and speaks of his holiness and love. The disobedience consistent complaining and whining of Israel against the Lord and with one another did not change God's mind to create a new nation. God's tough love comes with a price that the people will pay when they choose not to follow the Lord. Even Moses, God's chosen leader and deliverer of the slaves from Egypt, experienced the consequences of not following God. What price are you paying? What price are you willing to pay? The book of Exodus also reveals God's formulation from former slaves who would now experience freedom and its responsibility. Chapter 3 provides insight into how the leader, Moses, was selected by God. Moses' reluctance to serve as a leader and the process God has already put in place for the children of Israel when they would leave Egypt. Moses had grown up in the Egyptian educational system and had to become educated on sheep herding. He no longer lived the life of privileged noblemen, but had to live off the land and tend the flock and care for people with different beliefs and ways of living. Moses traveled down the backside of Mount Horeb, which is used interchangeably with Mount Sinai. Moses was tending sheep and leading them through the dry grounds to find greener pasture. As a shepherd, Moses was vulnerable, training for sheep would help prepare him for the new life he was soon to begin. God uses Moses' experiences in the desert to train him for his very challenging task leading his people. Moses saw an unusual event, a burning bush, but the fire could not consume or engulf it. This event defiled the law of nature. This was God's handcrafted announcement to draw Moses closer. Moses was not afraid of the fire and went to see what it was. The angel of the Lord appeared as flames. Had to be amazing to behold. God's presence in the bush is uplifted in Deuteronomy 33:16, the favor of him that dwelt in the bush. The divine manifestation of God is expressed throughout the Bible for others to experience, as in Exodus 19, 18 verse, and then 24 and the 17th verse, and Ezekiel 1, 27. God knows how to get Moses' attention, just like he knows how to get our attention. As Moses turned to look at this wonderful sight, God calls his name twice. Moses was fascinated by the burning bush that would not burn to the ground. Fire represents God's holiness, and the burning bush was God's holy display for purpose that Moses would see. God's holiness was seen by the Israelites as the Lord led them by a cloud and smoke on their journey from Egypt. That's Exodus 13, 21. God calls Moses' name twice, then God directs him to a location where they can meet face to face. God calls Moses' name twice and then says to him, "Here am I." The Bible records other moments with God where his presence is revealed in dramatic or spectacular ways. Abram's vision from God of a smoking furnace and of a burning lamp, Genesis 15, 17. Jacob's dream of the angel as an ascending and descending on the ladder as the Lord stood above them and spoke to Jacob, Genesis 28, 12 through 13. Balaam's donkey seeing the messenger of God with the sword ready to kill Balaam if he continued traveling on the road with the prince of Moab, Numbers 22 and 23. And Jesus after his resurrection, who appeared to Mary but is not recognized at first, John 20 and 15. It is so very important that we are paying attention to God. So when he reveals himself to us in expected ways, we will know that it is God. God speaks to Moses and tells him to take off your shoes because where he's standing is holy grounds. First, Moses sees the burning bush, and now he hears God speaking to him to distinctive experience that will change his life forever. Moses must take off his shoes and stand with his feet on holy ground. God's holiness is mandated that gives this particular place and most reverence. But taking off his shoes, his sandals, represents the respect and humbleness that God deserves. The fear of the Lord, verse 6, highlights the fear and the reverence that Moses had to have for God. He is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God that his ancestors prayed to, worshiped, and reverenced. Moses immediately acknowledged God's holiness. The word fear in Hebrew is yira. This fear acknowledges God's great intentions, Exodus 20 and 20, and is produced by God's word, Psalms 119, 28, Proverbs 2 and 5, and makes a person receptive to wisdom and knowledge, Proverbs 1 and 7, then 9 and 10. Giving honor and reverence to God is what believers should do. God is the only true God and deserves respect and honor from all of us. The Bible often refers to fearing God as part of worship. Like Moses, we should honor God quickly and without hesitation in our worship and in everyday lives and in those things when we have the opportunity to give more. Our relationship with Christ provides us with the strength and the wisdom to go beyond our comfort zones. We are expected to do more because of the Holy Spirit's power and Christ inside of us that leads us to that burning bush experience and to know the voice of God. In conclusion, today the only way for us to come into the presence of a holy God is to become holy ourselves. This is why God sent Jesus to be our Savior. He is our holiness, 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and signification and redemption. We could never keep God's law, but Jesus kept it for us with perfect holiness. When Jesus died on the cross, he took away all of our ungodliness, exchanging his righteousness for our unrighteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Moses was given an invitational direction by the Lord to fulfill his promise to deliver the slaves to freedom. Despite the life-threatening events, God had a plan for Moses. So what plan has God for you? Have you prayed and sought the Lord? Because he has a plan for us all. Moses returned to Egypt as God requested of him, with his wife Zipporah and their two sons, and the blessings of his father-in-law Jethro. Exodus 2, 11 through 15, and 4, 18 through 20. Moses was the deliverer who would set the captive free as God had promised, Genesis 15 and 16. God will provide his people with justice, and you may be the vessel he uses. Let us pray. Lord God, we humbly come before your throne of grace. Lord God, first and foremost, we ask you to forgive us. Forgive us for sins unknowingly and sins knowingly. Then, Lord God, we honor you. We adore you. We magnify you because you are God. You are sovereign in all your ways. You are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. You are the Prince of peace. You are the everlasting Father. We say that you are holy. We say that you are majestic. God, you are all right with us. God, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. Lord God, we just thank you. We thank you for being our justice, God. We thank you for letting us know that you are always with us. Now, Lord, look on Dr. Terry, Lord God, and the listeners on today. Lord God, go with Lady Martin to be with her sister and her family on this time of need. And then, Lord God, we ask you to bless your people everywhere, God. Lord God, we ask you to look on our pastors, Lord God. Look on the bishops, Lord God. Look on the government, Lord God, and just be with us. And then, Lord God, we just ask you to be in everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah, you did that 31 today.
Mara, it was 10, well, two, take your two off.
What two?
You had two phones on.
Oh.
We had 10, well, take your two, so we 9 people.
That's good.
Girl.
You did nice.
Well, I tried to pay.
Believe it or not.